The Pope was warmly received in Congress today, an Argentinian leader of 1 billion Catholics speaking to U.S. lawmakers. He was wildly embraced in Washington and will be across the U.S. How did this happen? How did this happen in a country that a century ago turned away workers with signs that said Irish, meaning Catholic, need not apply? Gail Collins writes today in the New York Times that even 50 years ago, hunkered down in her cloistered Catholic school, nuns stressed her isolation, prepped her to die for her faith at any moment, so much so she thought someone was going to storm the school and wipe everyone out. And outside churches, there were Americans wondering, what are they doing in there with the Latin and the incense? In 1960, John Kennedy was forced to address fears about Catholics. Maybe today there's an age-old love of pageantry or a yearning for spirituality even by people who can't abide ideology. But what else is going on? Kathleen Sproes Cummings is director of the Kushwa Center for the Study of American Catholicism at the University of Notre Dame. Kathleen, have you been thinking about this as well?
Robin, I'm trying really hard to stay in the moment and savor watching the Pope's appearance at the White House, his address in front of Congress. But the historical part of my brain is marveling at that this is actually happening when we consider the not too distant history of Catholicism in this country and the way it was perceived. The fact that a pope is being welcomed so effusively and all of his appearances are being viewed as something that is great for the nation really represents a dramatic historical turnaround.
Yeah, quite something. Remind especially younger listeners, even just 50, maybe 75 years ago, what was happening?
Right. And within our living history, the election of John F. Kennedy, so not too long ago, Kennedy had to promise, in order to be a viable candidate, that the Pope would not tell him what to do. He had to promise that he wouldn't seek to establish official diplomatic relations between the United States and the Holy See. That relationship was only became official in 1984 under President Ronald Reagan. Kennedy also had to promise that if elected, he would not seek federal funding for parochial schools. He had to answer concerns that his loyalties would be to the Pope in Rome rather than to the Constitution.
Now, I want to be tender here because they're two completely different things. Of course, there has been a fundamentalist Muslim movement in the last 15 years that's frightened Americans from Al-Qaeda on over, but that doesn't represent the millions of Muslims who are not of that thinking. So take away the concern about the Al-Qaeda, ISIS. Does it reflect for you some of the questions that are being asked today about Muslims? Does it feel somewhat a little bit the same?
It resonates completely. When I was watching President Obama and Pope Francis standing next to each other, I couldn't help but think about the fact that Pope Francis was a Jesuit, and the Jesuits were known as the Pope's soldiers in a way. Now, I think there are some people, some Catholics, who remember the Kennedy challenges and remember these issues. But if you go a little farther back in history, there were very prominent American intellectuals in the 19th century that believed that the Pope was going to invade the United States, and in fact that the Jesuits were in charge of this. And when Catholic immigration to this country increased in the 19th century, there were people who said that Jesuits were actually directing immigrants to strategic points in the nation to prepare for such a papal invasion. Now, of course, at this time, in the 19th century as opposed to now, the Pope is still a head of state. But in the 19th century, he did have much more temporal power. He was a temporal prince in Italy. So there were concerns about what that meant. But people thought of the Pope as a manipulative foreign despot who had very real designs on the United States, is what people believed.
Quite something. And the Jesuits further are known within the church as being more concerned with social justice. And so you have this Pope who was a Jesuit. There are those on the right who are leery of his friendship with Cuba. Some of the things he said about capitalism, it's run amok, his push for equity for all people, his work with the poor. And so he's seen as something of a liberal pope, but he's a full-spectrum pope, as John Allen says today. He's a pope observer. He's a full-spectrum pope because he also worries people on the left because of his stance for birth control against homosexuality and gay marriage. So let's go to this particular pope and the church in this time. Why do you think it's resonating so much?
He is very difficult to put into the political categories we have in the United States. I've heard him also described as an equal opportunity annoyer in that he's challenges people on the left and the right. I think the key to his popularity here in the United States for Catholics and non-Catholics is that from the very beginning of his pontificate, he established a great deal of moral credibility in those early gestures, those symbolic moves that he made right in those first couple of days. And he's continued that by forefronting issues that lead with the positive. He said very early on that the church should focus on the things that it said yes to. The message is about the positive rather than all the things the church says no to. And he himself leads with the positive. He leads by example. And remember, he's coming to the United States and he has given a beautiful message to the United States. But the message is the same. And he views the world through the lens of the gospel, not through the lens of the issues that concern us here in U.S. politics and culture.
I'm wondering, too, for Catholics, and you are one. Yes. Heard a commentator say on CNN today, and for people like me, I'm a lapsed Catholic, she said. I've fallen away from the church. But he makes me feel like it's okay no matter what I've done or what I believe. She said, I don't believe in a lot of the dogma now. But this pope makes me believe that that's okay. I can come back. Is that a misreading of this pope?
I think it's a misreading to say that to think that the pope is going to change church dogma, church teaching. He hasn't and he won't. But he has changed the tone. The tone is much less judgmental. It doesn't mean that there is no judgment, but he talks about judgment and mercy. He talks about himself as a sinner. In one of his very first lengthy interviews, he was asked, who is Jorge Bergoglio? He said, I am a sinner. And what he has emphasized is that no one is exempt from the mercy of God, and that there's a wideness to God's mercy, as there's a hymn that says that, that everyone, no matter how far afield they have gone, how far away from the church, that God's mercy is open to them. And he has really communicated that with not only his words, but his gestures.
I'm wondering, too, if part of this unbelievable, it's truly an unbelievable reception for him, is that this country has changed from the time we were just talking about. Again, Gail Collins writes about how her nuns in the 50s and 60s were just a generation away from being really the illegal immigrants of today. These were the picked-on immigrants of the early 1900s, and she feels that they brought their sense of paranoia to the classroom. Now, 70 million Americans are Catholic. It feels as if every television commentator is Catholic. Is that a part of it?
It's really unbelievable. I enjoyed Gail's column today. In the 19th century, there was a burning of a convent in Charleston, Massachusetts, because of fear of what were these women doing inside these convents? What were they educating? What were they doing to Protestant girls? Were they keeping them captive? The convent was burned down in 1834. There were riots in Philadelphia, the place where Pope Francis will go on Saturday, over fears that Catholics were interfering with the city's public education, that they were trying to undermine the citizenship by interfering with that. This is why the Catholic school system in this country grew to be so large, because of a fear that the public school system was anti-Catholic. Hmm. So it really is just unbelievable to see. Yes, Catholics are about 30% of Congress, a majority on the Supreme Court. Catholics occupy a much different position in American society today than they did for most of our nation's history.
Maybe it's a hopeful storyline for other communities that feel beleaguered now, what might be in their future. Kathleen Sprose-Cummings, Scholar of American Catholicism at the University of Notre Dame, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.